Welcome back to the I'm Moving to Italy podcast. This is Nathan Heinrich, and I would like to welcome you back to Season 3, Episode 12. I'd like to start by welcoming the country of Switzerland to our family of listeners. Welcome, Switzerland. It's nice to have you here. You're our neighbor. I wasn't sure if I would ever have anybody from Switzerland join our listening family because it's so easy to move from Switzerland to Italy. That certainly makes sense if you are wanting some warmer weather and better food and not so much snow and cold. But anyway, for whatever reason you have joined, we are thrilled that you're here. So welcome our listeners from Switzerland. Last night, which was Sunday night, the Oscars, the 94th annual Oscars award, aired in the United States. Now, if I was in the United States, I would have certainly been watching because that is a show that I have always been kind of interested in. I really love films and movies and just the whole industry I find very fascinating, and I've always been very interested in filmmaking. And so I woke up this morning in Italy and they were still in progress because we are 9 hours ahead here in Italy, and or at least of California. That's where, you know, the awards happen in Hollywood. And so I was kind of just looking to see who had won, and I was kind of shocked to see that there had been an altercation on stage between Will Smith and Chris Rock. And I think that the jury is still out on whether it's real. There's some people that think it was still a staged sort of Hollywood stunt. I don't think it was, personally. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. The only reason I'm really bringing this up is because, just as a coincidence, I was going to share with you that I had read a couple of really interesting books in the past few weeks, and one of them was the Will Smith autobiography called Will. And I was really, really taken with it, and I found it to be an excellent read. I still recommend reading it. And what a really interesting life. I really feel like I can understand who he is in a way I never could before. I think I shared with you in several previous episodes that Will Smith was going to be turning the book that we are currently reading here together, The Alchemist. He became one of the producers who's going to be turning that into a film, which I think will probably be really great because I think Will Smith is a really good filmmaker. He's a great actor. And so anyway, here I am with my notes with Will Smith's name in them, and I wake up and the Oscars have kind of just unraveled a bit with Will Smith punching Chris Rock in the face. I don't know what to say about it except for I think it was highly inappropriate. And I think that perhaps Will Smith was being protective of his wife's honor, which I can respect that to a degree. But I think there are better ways to do that. And standing up on live TV and assaulting someone in the face is not the way to handle it. So then as the night progressed, to make things even stranger, Will Smith, who was nominated for the category of Best Actor for a film that I believe is called King Richard, where he played the father of Venus and Serena Williams, the famous tennis players. So anyway, he ended up winning the award and the Oscar for Best Actor in a Leading Role. And then he had to get up on stage right after he had assaulted Chris Rock and punched him in the face, just not very long prior to that. He had to get up on stage and give an acceptance speech for this award. And he was very emotional and crying. And I'm sure that, you know, who am I to judge? I don't really know what the behind-the-scenes story. Maybe there's some beef between these two guys. Maybe they've got problems that aren't related really to that moment. Maybe that was just the straw that broke the camel's back for Will Smith. I don't know. I think that Will Smith missed an opportunity to apologize publicly to Chris Rock and say, you know what, I handled that very poorly. I'm sorry. But what Will Smith did was he apologized to his fellow nominees and to the Academy, but he didn't apologize to Chris Rock, which I thought was kind of poor taste. So I was a bit disappointed, I'll be honest. I still recommend Will Smith's autobiography. He reads it himself, the audiobook version. So it's very interesting. And it's what a fascinating life he has led. So anyway, I still recommend it. I don't really condone his behavior, but I'd be curious to hear what you all think about this, if you even care. In the coming weeks, in the month of April, I have two really, really amazing and very interesting interviews lined up that just kind of happened very organically and naturally. And I guarantee you, you are going to enjoy these interviews. Now, there's a lot of podcasts out there that are interview podcasts. And I'm not trying to make this podcast one thing or another. Basically, my goal with this podcast is to make it interesting and relevant for you in relation to the topic of moving to Italy. And both of these people, both of these, in fact, it's actually each interview is of two people simultaneously. So it's not just of a single person, it's two people. You'll understand as the interviews. The first interview is going to be aired on next week's podcast. And I'm really excited about it. And the following one is going to be airing at the end of the month, at the end of April. So I'm really very excited. It's an opportunity not only for me to do something I've always been excited about doing, which is interviewing someone and interviewing people, but the stories of the people that I'm interviewing are so fascinating. And you're going to find out that they're very relevant stories to your enthusiasm and to your interest in Italy. So stay tuned over the next few weeks for these two interviews. I have no idea how many more people in the future I'm going to interview. We'll see how well these interviews go. Maybe I won't be such a great interviewer as I hoped to be, but I'm going to do my best to share these fascinating people's stories with you that I think you're going to really, really enjoy. So stay tuned for those interviews. I'm looking forward to sharing those with you. Speaking of interviewing people, you know, I think it's really easy for us in life to be so focused on goals and so focused on the next thing. And I think it's really, really important for us to celebrate when we get to a certain point. And so when I had done a pre-interview of one of these two groups of people that I'm going to be sharing with you in the future, I ended the Zoom meeting and I just took a few minutes and I thought for a second, like, Nathan, think about this. You've always wanted to interview people, and now you have a platform that you can not only interview people, but you get to share these interviews with people who will find them interesting. That is a real privilege. And it's also a goalpost that I have had my eyes on for a long time. And it's a fascinating, exciting goal that I've been really, really wanting to experience and wanting to realize for a long time. And so that night, Friday night last week, Alessandro and I sat down for dinner, and we don't drink wine with every meal. We maybe have wine, I don't know, a few times a month. We used to drink more wine. We don't drink as much wine right now as we used to, but we had a really nice bottle of white wine in the refrigerator that we hadn't opened. And I was like, you know what? We're going to open this wine and have it with this really great dinner that we made, because it's time to celebrate a moment. And that is that I was able to achieve something that I really, really always wanted to. And to acknowledge that moment and to sort of relish it for a minute instead of just jumping onto the next thing. It's so easy for me to just be like, okay, that's done. Move on to the next thing without even taking a second to just take a deep breath and say, okay, excellent. You achieved this. Celebrate it a little bit. And so anyway, I don't know. Is that something that you personally deal with? Is that an American thing? Is that just a normal thing in our immediate society where everything happens so much faster, and I feel like we've moved away from this slow appreciation, celebrating those small, significant wins, no matter how small they might seem. And even if it's the beginning of a win, sometimes just celebrating the beginning of something wonderful and exciting that you've always wanted. So I think I am still at the beginning of this. I have no idea where it's going to go. So anyway. Okay, so something I'd like to share with you that has been going on here in Northern Italy for the past several months is that Northern Italy is in a drought. Now, it's not like the droughts I'm used to in California. Any of you who live in California or have visited California or have been aware of all the wildfires that take place on a regular basis in California, you know that California is famous for being a state with regular droughts. And really, California in many ways would be a desert. A lot of parts of California would be a desert because really, compared to a lot of places in the world, California gets very little rainfall. And one of the saving graces for California is all the snow that they get in the mountains. A lot of people don't realize it, but there's a really long mountain range, the Sierra Nevada mountain range in California, that gets a lot of snow. And that snow melts and goes down into the valley and into the rivers and the canals and the reservoirs and the lakes. And that's one of the ways California is able to stay green, is because they sort of are able to capture that snow melt and save it for irrigating crops. And anyway, water is a big problem in California. I'm used to a lot of dry, hot years in California. So what we are experiencing here in Northern Italy, as far as the drought goes, is not quite on the same level as California. However, it has been over 100 days since it has rained here in Northern Italy, and the snowpack that is normally up in the Apennine Mountains and in the Alps is about 42.7% lower than it has been on average for the past almost two decades. And so anyway, it's something that has been problematic for certain industries. I mean, the Po River, which is spelled P-O, it's Italy's largest river. It actually starts, the tributaries all kind of come from the Alps and the Apennine Mountains and drain into the Po River, which is Italy's longest river. It's a 405-mile long river that eventually drains into the Po Valley and into the Adriatic Sea, not very far from Venice. And that river is down, significantly down. Normally, this time of the year, as spring is starting and the weather's warming up and snow's melting, the Po River is really, really rushing. But it is down significantly. I believe I was reading that it's down from its normal level. It's down about 6 meters. That's 18 feet shallower than it would normally be during a regular year. The good news is that we are getting some rain this week here in Italy, so hopefully that's going to be enough rain to break this drought cycle and also maybe even get some more snow in the mountains before, you know, it really gets too warm for snow to happen in the mountains. So anyway, we're expecting a number of days of rain, and it's really going to be the first time it's rained for a good portion of Northern Italy, at least in any significant amount, since last year in December. Normally, this time of the year is very wet. I remember last year here in Italy, it was raining, seemed like all the time, and it just hasn't rained. It's been dry. It's very strange, very unusual for this time of the year for Northern Italy. So we're hoping that we get that turned around and that things improve with the drought situation here in Italy. An interesting thing happened over the past week with the war in Ukraine. Joe Biden was here in Europe, and he was in Poland. I don't know where else he was, but he was speaking in Poland. He was meeting with some of the Ukrainian refugees and some of the troops. And he made some really, really kind of unfortunate and unsettling statements, actually. At one point when he was on camera, he was quoted as saying that Putin was a butcher. Yeah, that's true. We all agree Putin is a butcher. But then he also went on to say in his speech, he was kind of ad-libbing, which I think his people kind of really get nervous when he ad-libs, because he kind of says things that then have to be kind of walked back. And he said something that was actually quite upsetting. It upset the Italian government. A lot of people in the Italian government were made very nervous by it. The French president, Macron, spoke out against it. And what Joe Biden said, you probably have seen it in the news, but he mentioned that he thought that Putin should not be allowed to continue running the country of Russia. Now, we all agree with that statement. The problem is, you don't make a statement like that when you're the leader of the free world and the leader of the West. You're kind of the major superpower in the world, but certainly the superpower that NATO and all these other nations in Europe and the world looks up to. You can't antagonize a madman like Putin, because who knows what he's going to do. Just going to give him more fodder and more ammunition to, you know, to do something crazy. So anyway, it was unfortunate to see that Joe Biden had said those things. And there's a lot of, I was reading, and I was writing in the newspaper that I write every week, Real News from Italy. I kind of wrote about it, and that was actually one of the questions I asked Italians this week, is what they thought about the comments that Joe Biden had said. And I have to say, I was really taken aback by how upset Italians were about what Biden had said and their thoughts about that. So if you want to know what the Italian people, real Italian people, are thinking about what Biden had to say in Poland about Putin, check out today's edition, the March 28th, 2022 edition of Real News from Italy. You can go on to All Roads Lead to Italy and go to the Real News from Italy menu item, and you can read the article that I wrote and the question that I asked about, you know, what do Italian people think about what Biden said in Poland? So anyway, it wasn't too long before the White House kind of walked back those statements and said, well, he didn't really mean to depose Putin. Again, I don't think anyone disagrees with what Joe Biden had to say. I just think that it was inappropriate that he said it the way he said it, in the public way that he said it. You know, you can't just say whatever pops into your head. That was one of the big problems that Trump had, was Trump would just kind of go off and say whatever popped into his head without really thinking it through. And so anyway, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden. I'm not a big fan of a lot of people in American politics right now, to be honest with you. But anyway, so that was something that happened over the past week here in Italy I wanted to share with you. And I'm not really one to want to discuss politics, but when something comes up that is relevant, it's something worth discussing. So, well, that brings us to our reading of The Alchemist for the day, that I'm going to be reading to you in Italian. And where we left off last week was the fortune teller was telling Santiago about his dream and what his dream meant, and his dream of the treasure that was buried at the Egyptian pyramids. And so anyway, where we're picking up today is Santiago is still in that same village where he kind of has a crush on the merchant's daughter. And he has purchased a new book, and he is sitting in the square of the city. He's drinking some wine, because back then, apparently, one of the best things that you could drink, the safest things, the water wasn't always the safest, but you could drink wine. That was one of the reasons why people drank wine, is because it was safe to drink. So he's sitting there. He's a young boy, but he's drinking a bottle of wine, and he's reading his book. And then an old man comes and sits down beside him and starts talking to him. And at first he's irritated by this old man, but then the old man turns out to be someone very, very important that ends up having an impact on Santiago and the way the rest of the story unfolds. So we are going to pick up, and I'm going to be picking up right when the old man sits down next to Santiago. And one of my favorite quotes is where I'm going to be reading from, and that is something that the old man says to Santiago about what the world's greatest lie is. So after I finish reading in Italian, I'm going to play the section that is read by Jeremy Irons, so you'll be able to hear the English version. So here is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, and bear with me and my Italian pronunciation as always. Qua è la menzogna più grande del mondo? Gli domando soppresso il ragazzo. È questa, che un certo momento della nostra esistenza perdiamo il controllo della nostra vita, che comincia così a essere regolata del destino. È questa la menzogna più grande del mondo. A me non è accaduto, affermò il ragazzo. Volevano che facessi il prete, ma io ho deciso di fare il pastore. So, here is that same section with a little bit of extra for context, read by Jeremy Irons.
An old man sat down at his side and tried to strike up a conversation. What are they doing? The old man asked, pointing at the people in the plaza. Working, the boy answered dryly, making it look as if he wanted to concentrate on his reading. He said he was tired and thirsty and asked if he might have a sip of the boy's wine. The boy offered his bottle, hoping that the old man would leave him alone. But the old man wanted to talk, and he asked the boy what book he was reading. The boy was tempted to be rude and move to another bench, but his father had taught him to be respectful of the elderly. So he held out the book to the man for two reasons. First, that he himself wasn't sure how to pronounce the title. And second, that if the old man didn't know how to read, he would probably feel ashamed and decide of his own accord to change benches. Said the old man, looking at all sides of the book, as if it were some strange object. This is an important book, but it's really irritating. The boy was shocked. The old man knew how to read, and had already read the book. And if the book was irritating, as the old man had said, the boy still had time to change it for another. It's a book that says the same thing almost all the other books in the world say, continued the old man. It describes people's inability to choose their own personal legends. And it ends up saying that everyone believes the world's greatest lie. What's the world's greatest lie? The boy asked, completely surprised. It's this, that at a certain point in our lives, we lose control of what's happening to us, and our lives become controlled by fate. That's the world's greatest lie. There is one great truth on this planet. Whoever you are, or whatever it is that you do, when you really want something, it's because that desire originated in the soul of the universe. It's your mission on Earth. Even when all you want to do is travel, or marry the daughter of a textile merchant. Yes, or even search for treasure. The soul of the world is nourished by people's happiness, and also by unhappiness, envy, and jealousy. To realize one's personal legend is a person's only real obligation. All things are one. And when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it.
I hope you enjoyed that reading by Jeremy Irons of The Alchemist. I love those lines about personal legend and about realizing your dreams. And anyway, that's the part in the book that really starts to take a turn and go into a new direction. It starts to reveal kind of what the book is really about. So I hope you enjoyed that. Well, that brings us to our surrounding sounds for this week's episode. And this past week, I went to a cafe for the first time, a bar actually, you know, when you get coffee here in Italy, those are called bars. It's always a bit strange for me to call a place where you get coffee a bar because I always immediately think about kind of a dimly lit place where you drink alcohol. But a bar here in Italy, of course, as I've said many times, is a place where you drink coffee. And so there was a really nice sunny day recently, and so I sat outside at a bar not too far from my Italian school. And then I decided to, you know, work on a little bit of my homework and then walk over to the school afterwards. While I was sitting there, I captured some of the sounds of the cafe. I haven't been out in a cafe recently. You know, a lot of Italy has been still kind of limited, and my green pass that I had expired, and I didn't really feel like getting another booster shot. So I've just been waiting for the restrictions to be removed here in Italy. And so I sat there and captured the sounds of the cafe. And then I went inside to pay, and the woman who owns the cafe, turns out, is from China, and her name is Lee. And her father actually, I think, owns the cafe or the bar, and she works there. And so I went inside to pay, and her and I had a really unexpected, really lovely conversation. I didn't catch all of it, but I did catch some of it. So I'm going to share with you our conversation. The wonderful proprietor, her name is Lee, she's Chinese, and she was very friendly and very warm, and it's something I've noticed, a connection that you make here in Italy where you meet someone who's not from here and not Italian. You just kind of have a bond with them as you're both trying to learn the language and adapt to a new place. So any of you who are planning to move here, you're going to come to realize what that's like, that shared bond that you end up finding with people from all over the world, not just people that speak your same language or people that are from the same place you're from, but people that are just not from Italy. And so I had a real special moment visiting with Lee and talking to her. I definitely plan to go back to her bar and going there and enjoying more of her wonderful little sandwiches, her brioche, her cornetti, and her fantastic macchiato. And so anyway, enjoy those sounds, and I will be back afterwards to say goodbye. Scusi, hai Wi-Fi?
Sì, il botto.
Ok, grazie.
Infostrada.
Ok.
Wi-Fi.
Grazie mille.
Prego.
Okay.
Però io dico sempre, poi tra mille pensieri, due pensieri ne hai anche quelli che non sono.
Sì, io un giornalista.
Ah, giornalista?
Sì.
Tu sei giornalista? Sì. Scrive tutto per l'Italia.
Esatto. Sì, sì.
Scrive Italia bellissima.
Io scrivo per un piccolo giornale.
Ah, okay.
Per americano.
Ah, per l'americano.
Sì. E come ti chiami?
Lì.
Sì.
Ciao. E tu?
Nathan.
Nathan. Sì. Ah, okay.
Piacere. Piacere, sì. Lì.
Sì. Wow. Lì significa gelsomino.
Ah, sì, sì,
sì. Ok.
Grazie, grazie mille.
Prego. Allora, 2:20.
E grazie per le buste e per,
ah,
per tutti. Grazie mille. Tu bar è bellissima.
Sì, io qua 4 anni.
Oh sì?
4 anni.
Ah sì, okay. È bello perché la sole...
Sì, sì, estate è tutto pieno.
Sì, è vero. Sì. Grazie mille a lei.
Sì, niente.
Piacere.
Sì, ma tu sei qua vicino?
Vicino?
Tu qua con Emiliano?
Sì, sì, okay. Sì.
Ah, non serve bina.
No, no.
Ah, ok.
Perché è soldi.
Fisso. Ah, ok, fisso.
Sì.
Reddito. Conti.
Esatto.
Ok.
Ah, okay.
Ok. Grazie.
Grazie mille.
Aspetta, gli tocco la carta. Ok. Grazie a te. Buona giornata.
Buona giornata. Piacere.
Grazie.
Ciao, ciao. Ciao.
I hope you enjoyed those sounds from this week's episode, and I want to thank you for coming back and joining me for another week. I'd like to very quickly thank our sponsor for this show, ExpressVPN, which is, I just renewed our plan again for another year here in Italy. It is one of the best things that I purchased when we decided to move to Italy, and it has saved us an incredible amount of money and given us a lot of peace of mind about security, using public Wi-Fi, etc., etc. I've shared with you many times. Well, thank you again for joining me for another episode this week. I'm really, really grateful to be able to share this time with you each week. And again, we continue to send our love and support to our brothers and sisters. We have listeners in Ukraine. I don't even know if those listeners are still in the country of Ukraine, but we send our love and support and our prayers to our listeners and brothers and sisters there. Hopefully this war is over very soon and we can move on to peaceful, happier times. So wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I hope you are healthy and well. And I look forward to being back here with you next week. So until then, take care. God bless. Ciao, ciao, ciao.